while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I am pretty sure that you may have come across this expression before. That something happened to you and then somebody came to you and said, do you want the good news or the bad news first? I happen to have one of those experiences about 30 or so years ago. When my son had a chicken pox, I was the only one around him who gave him comfort. So he wouldn't leave me. He was lying on me. He was sitting beside me. He was doing everything with me. Eventually, when the time came for him to recover, I realized that I have also caught chicken pox. And you know that when you get this disease at a very old age, because I was then a very old man, it is not good. It is not good at all. So I went to see my GP, and then he said, Mr. Mensah, I've got two news for you. The good news and the bad news. Which one do you want first? I didn't know what to say, so he went on and said, well, Mr. Mensah, the good news, he said the bad news is that there is no cure for chicken pox. So there is nothing that I can do for you except give you some medication to lessen the pain that you're going through. But the good news is that you are not going to die. In a sense, that is how today's message is. We have two messages today. The Ephesians reading and the John reading. In a sense, the Ephesians reading is literally the bad news. While the John reading is the good news. So let's look at the bad news first. Because that's what we say we are going to do. If we are going to understand the plan that our Father had for us, we need to understand where we're coming from. We need to understand where He's taking us from. So the bad news first, which is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, and following the desires of our thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature rough, children of wrath. These verses are one of the most difficult truths in the Bible. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were by nature objects of wrath. But as difficult as this truth may be, as unpopular as it is, the truth is absolutely fundamental if we are to gain an understanding of the true nature of salvation and an understanding of the incredible love of God. You cannot grasp who God is. You cannot worship God for who he is unless you understand the depravity of the human race. But once we understand that there is absolutely no basis on which we can approach a perfectly holy God, then we begin to understand the breadth and height and depth of God's love. We can then begin to know the love of Christ Jesus, which surpasses all understanding. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. The very persons who are now recipient of the spiritual blessings were dead in their transgressions and sins. Those who are dead do not respond to stimulus, and they are the objects of decay. When Jesus called out Lazarus from the tomb, he said, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. He stinks now. Dead people do not respond to stimulus. They decay until earth goes into earth, and dust goes into dust. Unable to understand, unable to respond, looking less and less human, and becoming more and more corrupt is our spiritual condition with God. Our trespasses and sins include the mistakes that we make. The times when we may have good intentions but blew it. The times when we have grand plans to do something good but never are able to carry them through. The times when we know that it is right to do something but are unable to do it. We are in rebellion against God. We may even know God's laws and even acknowledge that it is good, but we break it anyway. We make mistakes, yes, and we are dead in our mistakes, but we also rebel actively against God's authority. We are dead in our rebellion. If you do not have Christ in your life, you are dead. This is the awful truth that we must accept. If Christ is not in your life, you do not respond to God's love. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the air. You formerly lived in the lust of your flesh, indulging in the desires of your flesh and of your mind. You were by nature children of wrath. We walk in the sins of our times. We conform to the present and the prevalent sins of those who are around us. When we are dead in our trespasses and sins, we conform to the world around us. The world exerts pressure on us to conform. what we call peer pressure. The world puts pressure on us to do things which are against God. And these come in so many subtle ways. We usually link pressure with the peer. Say peer pressure with the youth. The way they dress, the way they speak, the actions, all these are influenced by the world that we live in. But I dare to tell you that the pressure of the world is not only to the youth. It affects us also as adults. It affects us as we try to keep up with the Joneses. In what we buy, what we do, what we think. The pressure of the world is so much on us that it influences virtually everything that we do. Even the ideas that we have are influenced by the pressure of the world around us. But the Bible tells us and warns us that even though we are in the world, we should not conform to the pattern of this world, but be changed by the renewing of our minds. A second external cause of our spiritual death, we have looked at the world in which we live, is Satan himself. Satan and the spiritual forces which are opposed to God are at play in our lives. The battle in this world is a spiritual battle, and Satan himself is at work in those who are opposed to the gospel. Satan is a murderer and a deceiver who masquerades as an angel of light. He will deceive you. He will make you think that, oh, what he's telling you or what he's making you do is good, is for your good. But his ultimate aim is to destroy you. So we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heaven places. So the world and Satan tempts us to sin, leading us to spiritual death. But we are also driven into sin by the lust of our own flesh and mind. Among them, we too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Our bodies have a range of desires that are not wrong in themselves. We desire to eat, to sleep, to have a satisfying sexual relationship. There is nothing wrong with this. But the desire to eat can become the sin of gluttony. The desire to sleep can become the sin of laziness. The desire to have a good relationship can lead us into fornication and adultery. The problem here is allowing our desires to control us so that we fall into sin. What about the desires of the mind? Here we find the most basic sins which are the characteristics of Satan himself: jealousy, malice, envy, pride, hatred, wrath, bitterness, the desire to be clever, the desire to accomplish, the desire to accomplish even great and new things. Certainly, these desires are not all bad in themselves, but if we allow them to control us, then it becomes a sin. There is nothing wrong with desiring to be a scientist, researching to find a cure for a disease. That is good. But there is no goodness in researching to find a virus that can kill many. All these are learning processes. So we should understand that even though we have good intentions, these should be in line with the Word of God. The verses that we read: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature children of wrath. These words, or this message, points us to the fact that you are dead without Christ. That because of our sins and transgressions, we are dead. That because we follow the pattern of this world, we are dead. That because we align ourselves to the schemes of Satan, we are dead. That because we gratify the cravings of our flesh, we are dead. That because we follow the evil desires of our thoughts, we are dead. We are to understand the gravity of sin. Anybody operating outside the will of God is dead. We all have become children of wrath. When we think of God's wrath, we imagine a God who is seething with anger about our sins. But God's wrath is the logical and just consequences of sin. God has decreed that every sin will be paid for. A just punishment will be meted out to every hurt, every sorrow, every cruelty. That is the bad news. You were dead. You are dead. You will be dead in your transgressions if you live outside Christ. So today we can say that anyone who lives without Christ in his life is dead. Where are you? You may say that now, I am a born again Christian. Examine your life. Where are you? Are you following the tenets of the devil? Are you following the cravings of your flesh and your heart? Where are you? You are dead. But that would be so wonderful. I mean, how can I even say that? That would mean that we have nowhere to go. That will mean that that is the end of us, because we are dead. But in dying, there is the good news. And the good news is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So that is the bad news. And this is the good news. Without Jesus, the wrath of God abides on every one of us. We will not see life. Our lives will not be the same. Ask yourself, what is so sinful about sin that it causes so much troubles in this world? Sin is a very sinful thing. So man without God is dead in sins, unresponsive, corrupt, and getting worse day by day. The cause of this condition, as we have known, is both inside of us and outside of us. We therefore deserve the just punishment, the wrath of God. But the good news is, he sent his Son, only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If we continue with today's reading of Ephesians, and continue from verse 4, you'll find this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You have been saved by grace. A professor of evangelism illustrated this in a very practical way. At the end of his evangelism course, he will distribute exam papers with a caution to read it all the way through the end before answering it. So as the student read it, it became very apparent to them, unquestionably clear to them, that they had not prepared enough. And about halfway through, there were groans from the students in the lecture hall. They read through. Some started getting out without even finishing reading it, because they realized that they hadn't prepared enough for these exams. Some continued to read through to the bottom, And at the bottom of the question was, you can either complete the exam as given or sign your name at the bottom. And in doing so, you are going to get an A. The student thought, is he serious? We shouldn't answer the exam and we get an A. Some thought, no, that would be cheating. I have learned, so I have to prove the grade that I get. So they wrote the papers. Some got C's and D's were the best they could get. Unwillingly to simply receive God's gift for forgiveness, some tried to earn it their own way. But the truth is, God's grace is truly like the professor's offer. Just sign it and you will get an A. It is free. It is free. That is how much God so loved us, that he's given us the salvation. All we have to do is believe. Whosoever believeth in Jesus shall be free and have an everlasting life. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, but God so loved the world. We are unresponsive and becoming more and more corrupt, but God so loved the world. Our best efforts result in failures and mistakes, but God so loved the world. We are controlled by the world around us, by evil spiritual forces, by our inner drives and desires, but God so loved the world. We deserve eternal judgment, but God so loved the world. If you have not received a free gift, be reminded, actually, it's Palm Sunday. Jesus is riding triumphantly into Jerusalem to die for you and for me. This is a big occasion in the calendar of Christianity. You can appreciate God. You can worship God better when you know where you are coming from. Some may say, well, I came from a Christian background, so I didn't do any of these things that you're talking about. But even then, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you will begin to realize the enormous gift that God has given you. Then you can worship him better. Do not wait. This is the time for you to make that decision. For God so loved you that he gave his only one and begotten Son for you and for me, so that we can have eternal life.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.